You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. We pray this message encourages you today. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption. And who is enjoying the more daylight that we're having during the day? Spring is just around the corner. I'm counting the days, Today feels like spring, doesn't it? I was walking outside just recently, just without a coat. I'm like, yes, awesome. Well, how many of you enjoy eating at Chipotle? Show of hands. Yeah. Well, you know, when I go to Chipotle, I actually get the same thing every time that I go. I'm not a very adventurous eater when I go to Chipotle. I get the tacos with the carnitas. I put the white corn in it. The white rice, the corn, I get some of the regular salsa in that, and then some cheese and some sour cream. That's my go-to when I go to Chipotle. I have a pastor that I know, he shares about when he went to Chipotle, how when he went to Chipotle, he actually got takeout. So he got takeout and he brought it home and he was sharing it with his wife. And as he and his wife were eating, they were sharing it with their two-year-old daughter. And so they were giving her the beans, they were giving her the chicken, they were giving her the rice. But the only thing that she could look at is a cup that they had on the table. Now, when he did takeout, he didn't get the hot salsa in the order. He actually got it on the side. He got it in a plastic cup on the side. And the only thing that his daughter could look at was that plastic cup with the red hot salsa. They said, hey, you know, it's going to burn your mouth. It's going to be hot. You're not going to like it. And then you know what she ended up saying? Red cup, red cup, red cup. And so he caved to the pressure, and he put the red cup of hot salsa next to her. She was elated. She grabbed a spoon, grabbed a huge amount of that red hot salsa, and stuck it in her mouth, smiling from ear to ear for about 2 seconds. And then the face changed and the tears flowed, and she could not get that red hot salsa out of her mouth fast enough. And then you know what she said? She was no longer saying red cup. You know what she was saying? She was pointing not the red cup. She was pointing at her dad saying, too hot, too hot, too hot. And, you know, it's interesting. Here is a dad who's been, you know, eating Chipotle for years. He's been eating food for years. His daughter has been eating food for like several months, right? And the dad knew better. The dad knew better that it was not going to be good for her to eat the red hot salsa, right? He loves her. He wants what's best for her. He cares about her. So he was encouraging her to eat the other things that he was putting in front of her. But you know what? For his two-year-old daughter, she wanted what she wanted, didn't she? And so, you know, this is true a lot in life too, where whether you're 2, whether you're 22, whether you're 62, for many of us, we have a hard time being led. Some of us just have a personality type that it's hard to be led by others. For others of us, we've had experiences in our life where we've had negative experiences, people have not led us well. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a professor, maybe it is a politician, whatever it is. And so we've been burned by leadership and we have a problem following leadership. So we don't want to really follow others in our life. We want to lead our own life. We want to be our own leader. And so the problem is that while we want to lead ourselves, it always doesn't go well for us when we try to do that. Have you ever tried to take charge of a situation and just have it blow up in your face? Right? And, you know, I think there's a lot of voices out there, but you know what? As we listen to those voices that are out there, how well is it going for us? How well is it going for people in the world as they listen to those voices. And so today, whether you're exploring faith for the first time or whether you've been following Jesus for years, this message is for you. Why? Well, you know, as we go through this series of I Am statements, Jesus is, in his own words, telling us about who he is and what he came into the world to do. And so if you're exploring faith, when it comes to Christianity, you got to start with Jesus, right? If you've been following Jesus for years, you always have to go back to the Gospels. You always have to go back to the words of Jesus to be reminded of what he says and what he taught, right? So we've been looking at I Am statements over the past couple of weeks. The first week we looked at how Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. God sustains us. God satisfies the longings of our heart. That's what we looked at during week one. Week two, we looked at how Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so God, he takes us out of darkness and gives us hope. So that's what we looked at week two. This week, we're going to look at two I am statements. We're going to look at I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. And so we're going to check both of those statements, both of those claims. We find those in John chapter 10. For those of you that don't know, John was one of the apostles of Jesus. He followed Jesus for over 3 years. And so John is basically a book about his experiences with Jesus. So we're going to pick it up in John chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them, or your devices, go ahead and open them. You can also follow along on the screen behind me. So let's start off with John chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, let me have a quick show of hands. How many of you have ever been on a farm? Quick show of hands. Oh, okay. Quite a bit. I'm surprised. I didn't expect that many. Well, I don't know if you're the exception or you're the rule for people that live around here, but I would say that most people that live in Westchester, majority of people that live in New York City, probably have not ever lived on a farm or maybe even not visited a farm. How many of you have actually seen a cow in person, like up front, up close? A pig? Okay, a sheep? Wow, okay. All right, I got my farm people in service, first service today. So now you're going to be able to follow this a whole lot better because you already know about animals and you've been on farms, so I have an easy job today. So the Bible's filled with a lot of illustrations, right, about animals. In particular, a lot of illustrations about sheep and shepherds. You know, in Jesus' day, most people farmed, right? It was an agrarian society. And so when we come to passages like this, if we think about the people that heard it when Jesus was speaking it, you know, sheep and shepherds were very familiar to them. It's just like, just as familiar as a CVS would be to us today, or the local deli would be to us today. They would think about things about how King David was a shepherd. They would have thought about how the Lord was considered the shepherd over Israel, his people. And so the role of the shepherd was somebody who would take care of the sheep, who would feed and protect the sheep. And so as we get into this passage, the imagery they've got is that Jesus is using in John here is he wants us to understand that the shepherd is an image of who Jesus is, that he takes care of his people. So Christians were called the sheep of his pasture, were the flock under his care. Now, you'll see behind me a picture of a sheep pen. And in this particular sheep pen, if they get it up there, yeah, thanks, guys. In this particular sheep pen, you will notice there's a wall, right? There's no roof on it. It was open to the sky. There's a gate that the sheep are going through. And so this is something that you would find in and around villages or towns in Jesus's day. And so it usually had a single gate. You can't see the whole wall, but it would be round typically. And it would have a single gate that the shepherd would go in and out of. So, So the shepherd's job was to lead the sheep in and out through the gate. Let's continue reading in John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. After he had gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Do you know here why the sheep will only follow the voice, will only follow the shepherd and not the stranger? It's because of the voice of the shepherd. They only listen to the voice of the shepherd. And so here's this picture, friends, of this deep, close relationship that the sheep have with the shepherd. And it's an image of how God wants us to have a close relationship, deep relationship with Jesus, our good shepherd. But the question is, do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? That's the big challenge, isn't it? We live in a noisy world. There's noise all around us. When was the last time you had total silence? Our lives are noisier. Our culture is noisy. It's full of chattering noises, full of chattering voices telling you where to go, what to do, and what to eat. People say, I can't hear God's voice. Well, I think a lot of times it's because we're drowning it out. How often do we put on our AirPods or our headphones in the morning on the way to work to just drown out everything else in the world? People spend hours browsing news feeds, Instagram reels for the latest update. We all have these voices, and I think if we are listening to all these voices, that's probably why a lot of us that listen to these voices are feeling restless. You're never really feeling at peace. So my question for you this morning is, whose voice do you listen to? Whose voice do you listen to on a daily basis? Who's the primary voice that you're listening to? For instance, if you're listening to the voice of the news, it's full of boasting politicians, isn't it? Natural disasters. You know, there's wars that you're hearing about. There's riots that you're hearing about. There's the Middle East. There's gas prices. And if you listen to the news, the voices of the news all the time, you're going to think that the world is going to be ending every day of the week. If you listen to Hollywood and you read those magazines that you see on the checkout line at Stop and Shop, right? In Style or Us, you're always going to feel like you're fat. You're always going to feel like you're ugly. You're always going to feel poor. Am I right? That's what they tell you. You never measure up. So the question is, whose voice do you listen to? Because if you listen to the culture's voice, you're always going to be chasing the latest trends rather than lasting truth. And I think that's why so many of us feel like this kind of general restlessness and distraction in our day-to-day life. Now, in verse 4, Jesus says that the shepherd walks ahead of the sheep. Do you notice that? If we can bring verse 4 back up again on the screen, Jesus says that the shepherd walks ahead of the sheep in verse 4. He walks ahead of them. Jesus says, I'll go first. And it's a picture here of how Jesus is drawing his followers gently and leading them and saying, follow me. It's the opposite of the harsh, heavy-handed, come on, do more, try better type of voice. That's the voice of man-made religion. It's not the heart of Jesus. Jesus calls his sheep by name, and he gently leads them. He says, let me take you. Come, follow me. He goes first. And friends, this is a picture of God's tender love and care for you. Jesus is not a hard-driving taskmaster. His voice is not loud and demanding like our culture. Rather, the voice of Jesus or the voice of the Holy Spirit is soft. It's a calming whisper that doesn't stir up our soul, but actually quiets our fears. It settles our minds and stills our soul. And as you listen to his voice, you get direction, divine direction, when you need it. Virginia and I needed that a couple of years ago. We were facing a family situation, something with our kids, and I won't go into all the details, but you know, we were trying to be good parents, so we did our research, we talked to friends that we trusted about what was going on, and you know, we didn't freak out, we didn't go online and read all these articles and listen to all kinds of voices. The most important thing we did was just to sit and pray and ask God to lead us. And, you know, one of the things that we realized in those moments as we're talking to God is, and this is hard for me to really get it into my head, is that God cares more about my kids than I do. God wants the lives of our kids to flourish. And so he knows exactly what they need. And so for me, I can only see what, you know, God has in front of me. And so as we prayed about it, as we talked to trusted people, we spent time in prayer and spent time in God's word. He led us, he directed us, and we had clear direction and peace about what we were supposed to do. You know, Jesus is not only the shepherd that protects us, Jesus is the shepherd that guides us. So if you're a sheep, what's the number one job that you have in life? It's to listen to the shepherd's voice, right? And do you know that if you are ever around sheep, that sheep will only listen to the frequency of the shepherd's voice? We talked about that before. So I have an experiment to show you. This is actually a video of a Norwegian farmer. And the experiment happens at this Norwegian farmer's farm. There's a pen that he has the sheep in, and three strangers try to call the sheep. But because they're not tuned into the frequency of those strangers and they only listen to the farmer, they will only come when the farmer calls them. So take a look at this video.
One more time.
Oh, one is.
Oh, dear.
Look at them, look at them.
Isn't that amazing? They are coming. Oh my God. Woo! Oh my God. I can't believe it. Oh my God. This is my voice. Oh my God. This is amazing.
The sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. They listen to the shepherd's voice. And what's the number one job of the Jesus follower? It's to listen to the good shepherd's voice, to listen to Jesus's voice. Let's continue in our reading of John chapter 10. We're going to continue with verse 6 to 10. It says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the gate. And in this next slide, you'll see a different type of sheep pen. This is a sheep pen that you would find in the country. And one of the interesting things about this sheep pen is that there's no door. There's no gate, is there? And so what would happen is when the shepherd would be in the countryside with the sheep, he'd bring the sheep in at night into the pen. And instead of having a gate to close, he would become the gate, right? He would lay down. Usually he'd take his cloak because it was cold at night and put that over him as he laid in the area where the gate is, right? He became the gate. So he was keeping the sheep in and protected, right? He was also keeping the thieves and the robbers and any animals that wanted to attack the sheep out. So he became the gate. In other words, Jesus is the gate to eternal life. Jesus is the gate to the kingdom of God. Now, on the surface, in our culture today, this might be a little bit difficult of a claim for us to swallow, because it's a clear statement of exclusivity, isn't it? He's saying that I am the entry point. I am the gate, the door through which you can experience what you need. This kind of language can be very uncomfortable for people that live in the New York City area. We don't really like narrow-mindedness, do we? We don't mind if Jesus is one of the options. That's cool. But we don't know how we feel about him being the only option. We like options today, don't we? It's challenging for us in our culture when we value things. I think some of the biggest values that we have are independence and autonomy. We might say when it comes to faith, you know, I prefer to have a made-to-order approach, similar to like Chopped, when you go to Chopped or when you go to Chipotle, right? We want to customize. Give me Jesus for the feel-good grace, but then put a little New Age in there, some self-help, some essential oils, and customize my spirituality. So when Jesus says things like this, it seems to us a little narrow, right? But can we be honest? In our world today, it's all narrow. Aren't you surprised by how narrow tolerance has become? How quickly you're canceled if you send a bad tweet, or how you might lose friends because of that. This so-called tolerant world is not very tolerant. The narrowness of the world around you is so narrow that it requires you to fit into a very small box to be accepted. And this is where Jesus is amazing. Jesus's narrowness is incredibly warm and inviting. He's saying, anyone can come and follow me. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. You can come and follow me. I am the gate. The gate is narrow. It's exclusive, but once inside, it's more inclusive than any other institution in the world. Everywhere else today, you've had to get things right in order to get in, and then you have to work hard to stay in. There's no other institution that's like, we'll take anybody. And that's the good news about Jesus. Anyone can get in. But the important thing is, there's only one gate. That gate is Jesus. And when you step through the gate, you receive exclusive access. Exclusive access to what? Access to a relationship with the Father. Access to his presence. Access to his voice. He's saying, everything I've experienced of knowing the Father, you can experience as well by coming through the gate. You can be in relationship with the Father. And I am here to bring it to you and make it accessible to you. I am the gate and the access point to experience what your soul was made for. That's Jesus. He's the gate that leads to a rich and satisfying life. So Jesus narrows the options, but look at what happens. If you step through the gate, you find what? Pasture. You find life. You find protection. You find provision. You have to come through the narrow gate to get to the rich and satisfying life. God has gone through great lengths not to lock you in a cell of moral guidelines, but he's gone to great lengths to set you free to live the fullest, most freeing kind of life available. That's why Jesus came, to lead us out of the grip of the devil's lies, to lead us through the gate and into the best life that we could ever have. So I would encourage you to highlight this particular verse in your Bible. If you have a device, to highlight it on your device, this verse that says, I came that you would have a rich and satisfying life. There's going to come a day when you're going to need this verse. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we have a very easy time saying yes to obeying God. There are times in our lives when giving God the yes is the hardest thing we will ever do. Sometimes obedience is hard. Sometimes obedience is difficult. And you're going to need to believe this truth. You might feel like you don't want to walk through that gate, right? There are many other gates that you want to walk through, many other options that feel more inviting to you. I remember when I was close to my mid-20s, and I really wanted to be married. And there's this gate over here of obedience that says, Dave, the best life is to marry a woman who's a Christian, who's a follower of Jesus. Gate over here, More options? Marrying non-Christian women. This is what you have to remember. The gate of obedience that feels a little scary at the moment or difficult because you're laying down what you want to do, it's actually the only gate that leads to a satisfying life. You have to trust the Good Shepherd is always and only leading us into that life, never away from it. You know, I'm glad I chose the gate of obedience. I'm married to a wonderful Christian woman that has been with me for 25 years. And those are the moments as we're looking at that gate to make the choice. The shepherd knows what I need. I'm going to listen and follow. I'm going to listen and follow. I'm going to listen and follow his voice into the rich and satisfying life. So it really comes down to this question. Can you trust the shepherd? Can you trust the shepherd? And that's what the second claim Jesus makes in this passage. That's why it's the second claim that Jesus makes in this passage is so important. Let's look at John 10, verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, if you're going to follow the shepherd into the future, you've got to decide, can I trust him? So Jesus says, this is why you can trust me. This is why you can trust me. I am the good shepherd. Remember, the thieves and the robbers are going to be climbing over the walls. They're not going to be walking through the door, right? Their agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, the thieves and the robbers in your life are going to try to destroy you. The devil, Satan, is going to try to destroy your life. The thieves and the robbers will come. They will come. They are coming. And they want to destroy your life. Maybe you just had a breakup and you think that, you know what, I'm going to get revenge on him or her. That's not the good shepherd. Jesus never says get revenge on him or her, right? He never says make them pay. What does Jesus say? Forgive as I have forgiven you. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage and the thief and the robber will try to encourage you to bail out, just to check out, to get out of the marriage because you know what? You don't deserve this. You deserve to be happy. I remember somebody a couple months ago when I was up here with the prayer team came up to me and he had been a dad and a husband who wasn't around. His family wasn't doing well. And he was asking for prayer because what he wanted to do was to be the kind of dad and the husband that God wanted him to be. He didn't want to bail on his family. He didn't want to bail on his wife. And so maybe you struggle today with destructive habits. Maybe you have an addiction. This is the thief that is going to come and try to harass and accuse you, to tell you not to come to church anymore because it's something so shameful no one would ever want to be around you at church. You might, the thief and the robber will come to say, you know what, you feel too guilty. You're all alone. You're all alone in this. God's not with you. You will never survive this. How could God ever love you after what you did? That's the thief. But let me tell you, the good shepherd doesn't make mistakes. God made you in his image, and you were valuable. Whenever you hear somebody condemning you, remember that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. On the cross, out of his great love for you, the shepherd took on all of your sin, all of your shame, paid for it all with his life. So this is how you can tell the difference between the good shepherd, Jesus, and your enemy. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? The enemy knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. Whereas Jesus, he knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. That's Todd. That's Diane. That's my son. That's my daughter. He says, you're my beloved child. I'm not going to make a judgment. You're valuable to me. Even in your brokenness, you have tremendous worth. Jesus said, I call my sheep by name. And if you've trusted Jesus, understand that sin is not the truest thing about you. Your sin, your struggle, your failures, you are not defined by what you did, but what Jesus did for you. The enemy knows your name, but he calls you by your sin, whereas Jesus knows your sin, but calls you by your name. He leads you out. He leads you out. He leads you out of addiction. He leads you out of despair, out of anger, out of hopelessness, and he gives you rest. The shepherd's agenda is open pastures. It's a satisfying life, a flourishing of the soul. And here's how Jesus proves it to you. He lays his life down for the sheep. Let's continue to look at John 10 in verses 12 and 13. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he is their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't care about the sheep. The hired hand only cares about profit, but the shepherd cares about the sheep. Jesus cares about the people. That's the big difference. And we'll continue. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. And listen, until Jesus returns, the shepherd is going to be bringing in more sheep. The sheep pen is not full yet. And there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. We can trust Jesus because he laid his life down for the sheep. Jesus became the gate for salvation. He's opened the way of salvation by dying on the cross, by defeating the enemies of sin, death, and Satan. So no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what someone has done to you, Jesus loved you. He sacrificed his life for you. So listen to his voice and trust him. Friends, I'm certain that the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody here today. I believe that he's speaking to somebody here today. Maybe this week you've struggled with the enemy who's been putting condemning thoughts in your head, thoughts like you're an addict, you're a loser, you're a failure. Maybe the enemy's been taunting you with lies and whispers. But you know what? I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit says to you today. The gate is open. Come on in. And the shepherd is calling your name. He's not calling you by your sin. He's calling you by your name. The gates are open today, and the shepherd is calling your name. So it doesn't matter if you're here and you're like, man, I can't believe I'm in church. I'm such a failure. I'm so weak. I'm ready to give up in life. I'm so worthless. It doesn't matter. The gate is open for you today. And the question I want to ask you today is, are you saved? Have you been saved by the Good Shepherd? Have you gone through the gate into salvation? Can you point to a moment when you have personally said to Jesus, I want you to be my Good Shepherd. I trust you with my life. I want to give you my whole life. Today, the gate's open to you. The shepherd's calling your name. He knows your situation. So come home. Trust the shepherd. Take Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior today. If you want to do that today, I want to lead you in just a simple prayer. So with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, everybody can just close their eyes and bow their heads at this time. For those of you that want to take Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior today, who are ready to trust Jesus, I want you to just pray this simple prayer with me. God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Help me to face the challenges that I'm up against. And help me to live for you going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. God, we pray for all those people who said that prayer today. We lift them up to you. And we pray that more and more, as they follow you, that they would learn to trust you, their good shepherd, and that they would see that that is the best decision they could ever make, to choose the gate that leads to a life, a flourishing life, a satisfying life, God, we love you. We thank you for how you care for us. You protect us. You guide us. Thanks for coming and dying for us so that we could have the life, the best life that you want for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org or follow us on social media.